Crisp, invigorating fall days. I love it when I'm cold enough that I just want to put on that light sweatshirt, grab a cup of tea, cuddle up. We're in that time. On days like today, the sun is hitting enough that I need to put on a baseball hat to go sit outside and read a book, listen to the birds chirping. I love kicking a soccer ball around with a friend when the first leaves of copper and bronze are on the grass. I invite you all, as I know many of you already are doing, to enjoy fall, partly because it's a way of being compassionate to yourself. The Charter for Compassion is a major international initiative. At a time when we see too many divisions, this is a way of bringing people together around compassion, which involves being aware of suffering and having a commitment to alleviate suffering. Folks from communities around the globe, every continent, have signed on to this document stating, the principle of compassion lies at the heart of all religious, ethical, and spiritual traditions, calling us always to treat all others as we wish to be treated ourselves. Compassion impels us to work tirelessly to alleviate the suffering of fellow creatures. However, we also know that being compassionate to others alone is insufficient. The Buddha said, if your compassion does not include yourself, it is incomplete. If your compassion does not include yourself, it is incomplete. I think we should all try to memorize that one and just say that the Buddha says this. The Buddha. We are called to be mindful to alleviate our own suffering. Now, I'm basically become an evangelist for self-compassion. But I must say, I was a slow convert. Especially a number of years ago, I did not buy in to the need for people in our country to focus more on being compassionate to ourselves. And I'll be frank, it's a long conversation, kind of going quickly here, but we are a nation that struggles with selfishness and excessive individualism. So I was slow to say, yeah, we need to focus up more. I tell people to focus more on taking care of themselves in America. But over the years of doing ministry and being a human being in community, I have come to think that for those of us who do think about ourselves too much, including myself, having that problem, we have been misdirected in many ways. Quick examples, materialism and consumerism. How, you know, I'm a child of God. How do I take care of myself? Buy that next thing from the TV commercial that I like? When we stop and reflect, we know through our own experience about the need for and obstacles to self-compassion. Of course, many people do care deeply about others and work to alleviate suffering. We have examples all around us in this community, neighboring communities, and rippling out and out. And among those wide swaths of people, one block to self-compassion is compassion fatigue. Listen to these examples and see if you can feel yourself somewhere in there. Not in the specifics, but in the general. A nurse spends his days bringing as much comfort as possible to places there is not enough comfort to be had, trying to build bridges between the patient and the family of the patient and the doctors. And the nurse comes home, finds himself getting frustrated at the tiniest little things, and can't really name anything he has accomplished today. A social worker regularly visits homes where people barely get enough to eat, struggle to make ends meet. She comes home emotionally exhausted and unable to care for the people around her, finding almost just this apathy that doesn't seem like her, but that's how she feels. These things happen to us who care about others and try hard. Mother Teresa knew about compassion fatigue. She wanted to make it mandatory for her nuns to take an entire year off from their duties every 4 to 5 years to allow them to heal from the effects of all their caregiving work. When we run out of energy by caring for others and the myriad of ways in which that happens, we lose focus and capacity to care for ourselves. There are other ways we lack effectiveness in caring for our own pain. The person taking care of her father with dementia, the grandparents taking care of their grandchildren, often suffer themselves when the people they're caring for are hurting. Parents hurt when their children are hurting. But when we're caring for vulnerable or sick loved ones, we tend to just skip right into problem-solving mode, and we skip over paying attention to ourselves as suffering. You suffer when someone close to you is hurting or vulnerable, but a lot of times we just get into, I'm going to help you and fix it mode. If we take a step back and say, I need some healing today too. Dr. Kristen Neff is a psychologist at the University of Texas. And she found out about the need for self-compassion when she was going through a very painful, difficult, messy divorce. She was finishing her PhD, thought her blues might derail her from finishing her work. She didn't know if she'd be able to get a job to start paying off her debt. She didn't know what was wrong with her because her marriage didn't work. She took a mindfulness course that taught about self-compassion. And she came to believe in it and view it as important and different than self-esteem. We have a lot of cultures in our country that focus on self-esteem, the importance of self-esteem. But Kristen Neff points out that we also live in a culture where average is a put-down. If you're just average, well, that means 50%. Or even, let alone if you're below that. So statistically, that's a setup. We live in a culture where if you're average in something that matters, intelligence, looks, money, that's you're vulnerable to getting your self-esteem hit, and then suffering comes. So she says self-compassion involves getting out of those false self-esteem traps which cause suffering. Powerful, painful example. Women, more than men, have deep connections between self-esteem and their appearance, how they look, or how they think they look, or how others think they look, how pretty you are. In the United States, girls' understanding of how they look and their self-esteem starts to decline below boys at third grade, and it keeps going like this. Up until second grade, everybody's basically thinking, I look good and I feel good, if that's what it's about. But then the girls start getting hit by the oppressive body image garbage that we all swim in. And this does not just happen to women. It happens to men at any age in adulthood. You can look in the mirror and think, oh my gosh, I've gained 10 pounds and I don't feel good about myself. It's real stuff. So, building beloved community with compassion, service, and empowerment, we say to each other and to ourselves, no matter what your situation, it's important to remember you are a child of God. You do have the spark of the divine in you. You do have inherent dignity and worth. You do deserve justice and compassion in human relations, including how you treat you. Part of my journey towards better spiritual health involves getting out of the traps of why my life didn't look like I thought it was, or people weren't treating me like I thought I needed to be treated, and just realizing Kent needs to do a better job at loving Kent. Kent needs to do a better job being compassionate to Kent. Read a novel, take a bubble bath, go to the movies by myself. Watch the Eagles establish a run game this afternoon with Shady. Enjoy Shady this afternoon. I didn't say that at 9:15. No matter what your situation, I encourage you, be compassionate to yourself in the ways that work for you. Take 15 minutes of silence. It can be a treat. The Dalai Lama takes hours of silence every day. He needs it to fill his tank so that he can take care of his people. But he also needs to do it because he knows without it, taking care of himself, his compassion is incomplete. Here are some offerings from Karen Armstrong, who wrote a book, besides primary author of The Charter, she wrote a book called 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life. I call this one making a gratitude list about yourself for yourself. She said, make a list of all your good qualities. Ask a friend or a partner what he or she values most in you, and write it down and look at it and meditate on it and hold it in your heart. Value yourself. It's not bragging. It's being compassionate to you. Reflect on a painful memory or experience that still makes you wince or brings tears to your eyes. Can you give yourself some caring space about that? The kind of way you would want someone else to care for you, or that you might care for them if they were in your shoes. Show yourself some TLC. We live in the East Coast. I believe the statistics indicate sleep deprivation is higher here than any part of the country. And that is not, those are not patterns of being kind to ourselves. So be compassionate to yourself with sleep. Go to sleep a little earlier. Take a nap. Be compassionate to you. Make it work in the way you work. There are a lot of wonderful groups out there of people that help folks recover from injuries or illnesses. One woman who recovered slowly from a concussion, Jane McGonigal, established a group called Play Super Better. And it's basically just a lot of recovery, taking care of yourself. And one of the things they find is self-care builds resiliency. When people who are good and regular at self-compassion are healthier and less prone to depressive moods. When you practice self-compassion regularly, laughter can just erupt more from your gut quickly, instead of when you're not, maybe think, I think that's funny and I should laugh. But when you're healthier, boom, just comes out. When you practice self-compassion on a regular basis, you experience joy. You see a child in the checkout line and you're not sure why, but you just have a great time interacting with this kid in the grocery line. Self-compassion involves embracing yourself as a part of life, a part of humanity. None of us got a contract when we were little saying, life is perfect and your life will be perfect, no problems, sign here. It's not like that for any of us. But sometimes we can work ourselves out of it. So, you know, the Buddhists say the first principle is suffering. When you're suffering, you're a part of 7.125 billion people. Be open-hearted. You're not alone. The good news is you are there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when you practice self-compassion, you have more energy and initiative to be compassionate towards others. I want to be compassionate, and I think you do too. This helps. When you practice compassion, you have more awareness of the celebration of this thing we call life. Every week, we sing Spirit of Life, connected to our prayer. And I invite you to consider singing it to yourself, for yourself, sometime. And I invite us all to do that right now. Let's sing Spirit of Life for ourselves. Spirit of Life, come unto me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea, move in the hand, giving life the shape of justice. Roots hold me close, wings set me free.